This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. When the White House press wants answers and the White House spokesman doesn't deliver, the briefing room becomes bedlam. Here's NBC's David Gregory with Press Secretary Scott McClellan.
I'm sure have questions.
I understand that, but
I'm
not getting answers here, Scott. And I'm trying to be forthright with you, but don't tell me that you're giving us complete answers when you're not actually answering the question, because everybody knows what is an answer and what is not an answer.
David, now you want to make this about you, and it's not about you. It's about what happened, and that's what I'm trying to provide answers to the questions.
There's something about those briefings that brings out the beast in nearly everyone. One such beast was ABC newsman Sam Donaldson. His first stint in the press room spanned 1977 to 1989, the second from 1998 to 1999, when the briefings first went live. He joins us now to relive that experience. Sam, welcome to the show.
Happy to be with you, Bob.
When you returned to the White House in 98, I gather it was a very different place than the one you had left a decade earlier. How much did the live camera figure into that?
I think it was a great impact on the briefing process, and I think negatively, and I've thought that for years, and I noticed the other day that Mike McCurry, the man who had instituted that process, said he thought it was one of his mistakes, and I agree.
Why?
Well, in the White House briefing room, the press secretary for whichever administration, doesn't matter, comes out to say only what the president wants him to say and no more. And, of course, reporters want to know more and want to talk about maybe the bad news, not just the good news. So it can get very tense at times, and you go back and forth. And when people see this on television, they say, well, what are these nasty, vicious dogs of the press doing assailing that fine, upstanding individual who's press secretary of the president? And it just really doesn't help the process.
Now, the other day, the nice young man was Scott McClellan, who strongly insinuated that David Gregory of NBC was playing to the cameras, or at least was in the habit of playing to the cameras. Do you see your colleagues doing that in those briefings?
I guess I have to admit, Bob, that if you're on television, you play to the cameras and you know the cameras are there. But I don't think that's the reason why David Gregory or anyone else in the press room really starts out after the press secretary to try to get the facts. And as I say, it can get very tense. I can remember times when I was there when there was no television, when we'd go, Helen Thomas and I and others would go round and round with Larry Speaks or even Marlon Fitzwater, who was one of the very best. And you'd hurl, well, you're not telling the truth here. What do you mean I'm not telling the truth? Don't you accuse me of not telling the truth? I can remember an exchange like that. So I don't think this is something new that just comes about because the cameras are there.
Well, let me make a proposition in defense of having cameras in that room. It seems to me that if the reporters are asking questions and the press secretary is deflecting them, dodging them, or what have you, it's nice to see Scott McClellan, in non-answer to David Gregory's question, say something along the lines of this administration wants to focus on the priorities of the American people and put the Cheney shooting behind us. Isn't it to the, benefit of media and democracy to watch those questions not being answered in real time?
You have a point. And if all the viewers were discerning, or the majority of them were discerning, and they watched daily and they understood the issues and went back and forth and saw that the press secretary was dodging something, because most press secretaries are very artful. They will simply say, for instance, the president has said as long as the ongoing investigation continues, it would be inappropriate for him to say anything. Well, that sounds very reasonable. But of course, if you point out that the president last week in fact commented on the investigation when it served his purpose, then you're going to have this little fight with the press secretary. And so I think at first glance, people watching, when they see that little fight develop, may not say to themselves, aha, this press secretary is dissembling, is doing the light fantastic. They will simply say, at least it's been my experience, that they say, well, why are you being so mean? I mean, he's answered the question. Why do you keep persisting with the very same question that he's answered? I don't understand. Have you got an agenda?
So in terms of media literacy, what the public has to understand is, sure, you can watch these briefings, but you really should stay tuned for the resulting story because it will at least attempt to put things in perspective and not just show an ongoing tit-for-tat between the spokesman and a group of reporters.
Well, I think that's right, because after all, if you're reporting on the presidency, it's important to be at the briefings, but that's only one part, and sometimes it's the very smallest part of assembling facts for the story. But as you assemble the other facts for your story, people aren't being there to watch. They're not able to see you make the telephone calls that might give you the vital piece that clarifies things. To have people watch only a small portion of the process of collecting the story, and one where you are contentious and disputes arise and voices are raised, that it really doesn't serve the public well.
All right, Sam. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Bob.
Sam Donaldson, among many other achievements in his storied career, was twice a White House correspondent for ABC News.
Mike McCurry, the man to blame for the decision to go live, joins us now. He served as press secretary for President Clinton for 4 years, shuffling and sidestepping like the best of them, but respected by the press, perhaps because he let those cameras roll, perhaps because he seemed genuinely frustrated by presidential mendacity, or perhaps because he quit in 1998, declaring he was out of the loop on the Lewinsky scandal. Mike McCurry, welcome to OTM.
It's great to be with you.
So over the course of the last several big news stories, we've seen the White House briefing room transformed from the most boring and uninformative of venues to one that's far livelier, though equally uninformative.
Well, I tell you, that place, you know, many listeners may not know, it's built over a former swimming pool. And there are times when you're standing up there as press secretary, you'd like a trap door to open so you could plunge into the deep end, because that's where you feel like you are.
And you take some blame for that situation, don't you? You were quoted in Catherine Seeley's New York Times piece on Monday saying that allowing those briefings to be aired live on TV was, quote, a huge error on your part.
Look, I think if I had put a simple ground rule on that initial decision to allow coverage, it would have made for a much different environment. If I had said, look, this is all available for coverage, you can use it in your stories, but let's not have live transmission of these proceedings, because that will get in the way of us being able to explore thoroughly certain subjects.
Why would it?
Because then journalists would have to do what good journalists do. They would have to use editorial judgment in picking out the things that really are important that the public needs to know versus those things that are just mildly entertaining.
So you're saying you would prefer to have the media filter, as Bush puts it, bearing down on this process?
It's a, you know, ironic admission, but I would. I would, at the end of the day, rather put my trust in people who are going to try to go and scan all the information that's available and then put it in some coherent frame for the consumer, for the citizen, than to just kind of give this incoherent taste of what goes on in that briefing room that nobody can really understand because you're not part of the game.
But certainly you must have assumed that some benefit would accrue to the White House. I know that CNN told you that when you were on the air, they got 100,000 extra households tuning in.
Sure. There was a lot of self-interest in the decision, not the least of which I really enjoyed the idea of being a momentary matinee idol on C-SPAN. But you're right, that the ability to frame a response through all the media that's available, that did advantage the White House.
But I guess pretty soon after you decided to roll those briefings live, the Monica Lewinsky scandal happened, and probably you would have been happier if you had less regular exposure to the press.
Once it became a live televised event in the days of Monica Lewinsky, I think it lost a lot of its usefulness because people were putting on a show. I was, you know, putting on a show, standing there as the beleaguered aide, trying desperately to get off to a different subject. The press had to hone in and bore in on what was the scandal du jour. And it ceased to become what a news briefing ought to be, a way in which we can pass information to the media so that they can then report and get the information to the public. My fear is most citizens watch this and it just adds to their sense of despair that, you know, Washington is screwed up and people don't get it there because what they're talking about doesn't have anything to do with what my life is about. I mean, if you watch the endless, endless questions about Dick Cheney and his hunting trip, you would just have to scream at the television set.
It's because the print reporters there want an actual usable quote that advances the story, and McClellan isn't doing it, so they'll hammer away. The TV people will hammer away for their own reasons. The whole reporting process becomes distorted, you say, by the liveness of this event. And in fact, some reporters say that they don't like it at all, that they would really prefer that people don't watch them work.
Look, those reporters know, because they're told regularly by the outfits that survey this, for example, the Pew Charitable Trust, that have done a lot of work on what are public attitudes towards the media. They know that the media as an institution has been in decline, just like government itself. There's less trust, less favorable reaction to the work that gets done. And I think that's in part because we're letting too much of the sausage being seen made. My other concern is now it seems like the entire federal government, which is a vast enterprise, is being filtered through that one room where there's a podium and a handful of reporters. And it, you know, we're losing a lot of the coverage of all the other aspects of government that need to be in front of the American people.
All right. Thanks very much.
Good being with you.
Mike McCurry was press secretary for President Clinton. Here are some of his final words from the podium.
I was determined when that story broke back in January was to never come here and do what some of my predecessors unfortunately did, which was to lie to you and mislead you. And sometimes not knowing the answer, even though that puts you in a tough position too, is better than consciously misleading people. You know, did I ever knowingly come here and send you folks in the wrong direction? I did not.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.